Y'all ready for the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Here in the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour, we give you that sports talk in lamest terms. It gets a little raw in here, so if you like your sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. All right, let's get to it. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Brother Lemon Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Kids Network. This is your boy Chris, and we got a special little episode for y'all today. So this past weekend, I had a few of my friends come through who were interested in recording with us, seeing what we do over here. My man Chuck,
got a Uncle Chuck is over here bringing you that real.
Miles,
got Miles bringing you that colored commentary,
and Sean.
I've been on Black Is many a times. I'm good.
So we were over here, and I think we probably chopped it up about sports for about 3 hours, just jumping from topic to topic, covered a lot of different stuff. But Jonathan couldn't stay for the whole thing. He had some things to do. So, you know, there was a ton of audio to go through. So we got some good footage out there, though. You know, I ain't gonna play all of it for y'all today. Some of that will probably go, you know, in the archives, bringing out on certain times or whatnot. Because, I mean, yeah, we covered a gang of stuff. But, you know, I picked a few things, a few topics that were relevant to what's been going on today in the NBA scene. So, hope y'all enjoy it. And let us know your thoughts on the subject matter. You know how to get at us, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com, on Twitter, @brotherslayman, or on the voicemail, 323-455-4219. Let's get into it. Let me ask y'all this. What does Miami do? What's LeBron do? What you thinking?
I mean, to me, I would like him to come out, but he's probably going to stay. I mean, to me, he wants to, you know, cement his legacy somewhere. He wants to be the number six, the big-ass jersey in Miami forever. So he'll get people to come down and play with him. Okay. Who, I don't know, but he'll get people.
I think he has to come back. I think he looks shitty if he leaves again. You're not a superstar going to play. You know, you're supposed to bring people to you and make them better. So I think he has to stay. I think he may be thinking about it. Maybe he doesn't want to leave. I think the bigger question he's worried about, and everybody should be worried about, is what you're going to do with Dwayne Wade.
That is a question. All right, Chuck, is he staying?
I don't think he's staying.
Mm.
Oh. I don't think he's staying. I'm second in house. I'm not rolling with Dwayne Wade. I think he's starting to feel the pressure of having all the pressure on you, and it's like Cleveland all over again. Who wants to go through that? He didn't come to Miami to have all the pressure on him again. You're going to build the same. You're going to be build another Cleveland in a different city. Who wants to go through that? He came through to have a balanced team where he didn't have to do everything, and you're going to ask him now to do it all over again because Dwayne Wade showed you he's pretty much done. Oh. Chris Bosh can be utilized, but he's not one of those top tier dudes.
Okay. Jonathan, what you think? Is he coming back?
He'll be back. I just don't think there's any place else he can really go where he's going to, where, I mean, he went to the NBA Final Four straight times with Miami. He's not going to do that with another team. Miami can pay him the most money. I mean, it's really a no-brainer.
Okay. For those of y'all who said he's staying, is he opting out and resigning, or is he? I mean,
yep.
Is he going to opt out and resign, or is he just going?
Nope, he's opting out and saying, "Pay me like I'm the best player in the league. I've taken a discount for like 10 years. About time I get my money." So if Kobe's getting 24.5, LeBron need to get 25.
And I think there's much pressure on the front office.
What do you think he's gonna do?
I think he has to opt out. I think it puts pressure on the front office to, you know, to prove to him that they're gonna do enough to keep him.
Exactly.
I think he opts out.
All right, Neely, what you think?
Same thing they say. I just think by him opting out, that'll cause them to even put forth a plan, a true plan. The only problem with that is, what if Chris Bosh and Wade want to opt in? Then that puts them over the luxury cap, and I don't know how they feel about paying that luxury.
They've already paid it, I think, two years in a row.
Yeah, so who wants to keep paying it?
I think they got repeater tax.
No, I think they're going to get hit with the repeater tax, but I think it's mostly for next season, because now it's like you've hit the repeater tax.
And if you don't figure it out now, you're going to be paying the repeater tax again, and it's going to be added an extra $80 million on top of that. That's just how how it works. It's like every year you can be in the tax all you want. You just got to know every year it's going to get more and it's more not and more. And more.
Real question. I wonder. I like to see how much that cuts into their profit.
I kind of like that though.
I want to see how much that cuts into their profit because
a TV deal.
Oh, because they want everybody wants the players to take a cut, but Mickey Arison ain't taking no pay cut. You know what I mean? Fucking Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, and all the front office, ain't none of them taking pay cuts.
But the league is not set up to penalize them.
Yeah.
The league is set up only to penalize them saying the bigger roster. Saying? And I will say this, I think LeBron stays on the East because I think if he is no way in hell he's gonna come out here to the West Coast and not make it to the championship. In the East, I think wherever team he goes to, you're a championship contender. In the West,
of course,
you're not coming out here with that bullshit because we are like nine teams deep.
Well, the problem is,
if he goes to the Clippers or something, like, which is the only West Coast team he would go to.
The thing is,
he's
a championship contender.
You got to give up Blake, which means to me, you're not a championship contender.
Well, the thing is,
I don't think they give up Blake.
Yeah, so who do you give up?
I think they give up DeAndre and somebody else.
You're not making it to the championship if you give up DeAndre.
No, DeAndre is a nice.
You don't have a center. You don't.
I don't know how they.
Backup.
I don't even know how they would get LeBron. I don't know. I don't know what they would put together because you're not giving up Blake.
Of course not. This dude is not giving up Blake. You already have a ticket.
You don't give up Blake for LeBron James?
No, because he's younger.
I think about it hard.
He's homegrown. He's got a brand in LA. He came to the city and he was like, I don't really give a fuck what happened beforehand. I'm on the Clippers, just the new Clippers. And he came out with that mentality. And it just so happened, perfect storm, that, you know, racist ass Donald Sterling decides to be like, okay, after 20 some odd years, okay, I'll start really, you know, trying to take this a little more seriously. And he built a great team, got a great coach. You know,
he signed good checks.
You know, and plus, he has a brand, so it's not like why do we need to give up one? We've got the younger one, and he's known for dunking. You may be like, well, that may not win championships, but I'm like, it is feet in my pockets.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In Los Angeles,
and LA loves Blake.
You smash it.
LA they loves do. Blake. You don't think LA would be like, okay?
No, you find a way.
I get rid of Blake.
No, because
LeBron,
but then the whole argument would be like, you'd be mad at LeBron James. Like, this is the new age. You're supposed to want to play with Blake Griffin, not fucking leave. It's like, oh, now you got to replace all of Blake Griffin, which goes back to the argument.
Blake or who for LeBron?
It's easy to replace what Blake Griffin does at his position than it is to get a LeBron James.
You're replacing Blake Griffin with LeBron James. So basically, LeBron James is your four,
which he's very capable of doing if he chose.
In the prime of his career,
one thing about now
you're asking him to bang more, but which is your complaint. You think about him leaving is like, well, I'm not getting any help. Like, nigga, you are the guy.
Yeah.
Yes. I get it. They had a crappy season. You mad at the owner for kind of being cheap, getting rid of Mike Miller, which wasn't. Hey, whatever magic he got, I'm riding it. This dude shows up at the crucial time, makes buckets. We would no Mike Miller, no two championships. Just y'all keeping like what's his name? Juwan Howard on. Mm-hmm. I mean, shit. Mike Miller the one out there making the big money. We got rings on our finger threes. I'm riding this good luck charm until it's over. And I bet you LeBron was like, something about this dude, he don't play, but come the finals, he come up big. Why are you getting rid of that? And because he saw him noticing the repeater tax and having to prepare for that as the organization does. And it's like, I gotta lower this tax hit. LeBron is like, oh.
Losing Mike Miller shouldn't have been the. I mean, I think
no, it was over. It's 4 years.
But I mean, the issue with them, to me, I think the big thing with their roster. I mean, if they don't get any major pickups, going back to Dwayne Wade is Dwayne Wade. Even if you get Dwayne Wade to sit back a little bit and take a lesser role, can he even play a lesser role? Because he's not a standstill shooter. But
he's playing a lesser role now.
He's playing a lesser role.
But you're asking him to.
But he's playing a lesser role in the same.
This is what it's like.
He's playing a lesser role, and he doesn't even have a choice but to play even a lesser role than he played last year.
This is
because he can't do it.
You know what happened to him? It's almost with his Spurs. He was Tim Duncan, now he was Parker, and now you're asking him to be Ginobili. And in like a 5-year window, when like 2000, I got y'all, made y'all a championship.
But he can't do that.
Can't even be Ginobili right now.
But I mean, you can't act like that's not the easiest thing in the world to be like, oh. I'm sucking. Let me just be the number three guy. That's what you're asking him. You're asking him.
I'm not asking him to do nothing. What I'm telling you is if it's going to work.
Bosch has to be the number two. If
you're keeping these three. Bosch has to step up and take that role.
But that's with. That's no, but that's what Eric Spoelstra. Yes,
that's coach.
Just like great coach
should have shifted that. Yeah. And be like, you know what? Sorry, but you're going to stand on this wing, and you're going to have the ball rotate to you at the end of the play.
And the problem is, it worked for that period of time. I'm granted, Chris Bosh, man, much as we fuck with Chris Bosh,
I respect
he worked. He made it work.
I respect him.
But part of me, I'd still be like, dude, either you or somewhere you in the organization got to be like, why am I just a damn role player? Why is it just LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and everybody else? Like, to me, that's the comment. No, it's a big three. No, it's not. If it, why do y'all always say LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, everybody else?
Yeah, I agree.
And
with
I mean,
that.
He rolled with it. But that can't sit with him. I'm like, fine. I've been the good soldier.
In your prime.
Now, we got our asses handed to us. Like, all our weaknesses got thrown in our faces. So now, you know, they did it in 2000, that first year. Where they had, you know, LeBron James himself had to step up, take his game to another level, and he did.
Mm-hmm.
Now you see the Heat team like, okay, the holes are showing up. You were the older team the last two damn years, not the Spurs. You need to change your role players, and two of your, you know, your number two is getting a little slower, and the number three, you either have to fucking use him.
Right.
As, like, the true versatile big man, the top five big that I've heard people say, which I don't agree with until he proves it, comes out and is like, I'm going to be the number two guy. They got to do – I don't know what they're going to do. All of that is hard to just do, like, all right, we're going to do that in 1 year. Break. Figure it out. Oh, by the way, all the great free agencies are next year, not this year. You know, who's taking a pay cut, y'all? Who's taking a pay cut?
I mean, I'll be honest. I think Miami might be in trouble. I think they got more work to do.
They're a franchise. And I like what Pat Riley said about it. He had to remind everybody, if we're going to be the Spurs, which everybody keeps throwing in their face, and I'm loving it all fucking day, every day, just we have if we want something long-standing, like he said, the Lakers, you know, all these franchises where you remember these three guys for 10-plus years, don't you want that, LeBron? Did you see these?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, it's like, what, three teams have been to the finals 4 straight years? Three? Out of all these teams, three of them, that's major. And they're one, I mean, that's heavy. Like, take a breath. We're going to retool. We got to get some new weapons. We'll do our best. You know, don't expect the damn world out of us. Like, we ain't going to turn water into wine, but we got a plan. You've been rolling with us. Trust us. We'll make it happen. And he can't just be like, oh, because he's almost like, where are you going to go where that's not going to happen?
I mean, not just new weapons. They got to change the way they play.
Change
the way they approach.
Change the way they pray.
And LeBron, I like to see LeBron going. You said I like to see LeBron going the post more.
I want to see Dwayne Wade.
You're going to be the third option. We're going to swing the ball to you, and you're going to be that last option.
But he's not a standstill jump shooter, though.
But what I'm saying is that when the ball rotates to the weak side from the strong side, that gives you a one-on-one with this dude to go and do whatever it is, whether or not you're going to catch and shoot or go by him. But you need the game to be a little more easier for you, these dudes can actually take that grind and that pounding, because these dudes are both in their prime. You are past your prime.
I agree.
Period. And you need to acknowledge that, and the organization embrace that.
And it's not really because of what he's doing.
But you're done.
He played an aggressive style that.
And it was only a matter of time.
Yeah, Westbrook, Allen Iverson was that whole, I'm just attacking, I'm 6'5 and below.
True.
And I'm just attacking. True. You keep falling, hitting the ground. It happens. It's not because he's sorry. It's just, dude, your body's taking a beating.
No, you saw it coming.
And physically,
it's been obvious.
Yeah, it's been. You're physically. It's caught up with you earlier than anybody else. Well, just like every other great player and Hall of Fame player, you have to make a slight adjustment to your game. And I do think he can do it. You know it's going to be a harder adjustment for him.
And a tough conversation with you, Pat Riley, and Eric Spoelstra. Well, like, hey, it's a good. I'm sorry, and I will also say this. You need to do something about your point guard position, too, because you have a horrible situation at the point.
I don't think they're not fooled by that. I think the way you handle that argument, if I'm supposed to, the way I handle that conversation is, I'm not even going to discuss it as an explicit conversation. We're just going to change the offense.
But you're gonna have to, you can't do that to the state of your organization without having a conversation.
Well, maybe that's a one-on-one conversation. Then, like, this is what we're gonna expect. This is the offense we're gonna be running, and these are the plans. So, yeah, you're right. You have to talk to him about it, but.
He deserves that type of respect.
He definitely deserves that type of respect, but he knows his game ain't what it used to be.
Hey, but I say this is the killer, that he's going to opt in. He's not going
to
opt out.
He'd be a goddamn fool to opt out.
He's going to take his 18, money. His 18, 20 million.
But then that might affect what everybody else does.
Exactly. But he'd be a fool to opt out his contract sure because when you opt out, man, you are a 12,
like Amari Stoudemire.
$10 million player, real talk, at the best. This is the amount of money you deserve.
Now, his days of opting out are over.
You are a little bit above Steve Nash as far as the type of player you are.
His days of opting out are over. No, he needs to take that money.
Take that money.
Which could affect. I hope he does because I hope that changes everything. But I don't even really want to see LeBron go anywhere. It just wouldn't seem right. You kind of got to go ahead and stick it out. I don't really want to see him going nowhere.
We shall see. I'm very interested in seeing what the decision part two is.
No. I definitely see him going, you know, probably to the Knicks, somewhere where his off-the-court opportunities are greater.
But the Knicks, I mean, the Knicks are in a – I'm talking about that shit show. I mean, you really want to go to the Knicks?
Who the Knicks, the Knicks hire the coach? Who's their coach? Blow up. The Knicks are the easiest team to blow up.
Derek Fisher.
Oh, right. Derek Fisher. I was thinking about that black dude. But no, Derek – yeah.
I'm not fucking with the Knicks if I'm LeBron. Mm-hmm. If I was LeBron, I'd want to go to a young. Give me a young, not too young, but a young team.
Be sure to check us out on blackisonline.com.
This draft is upon us now. Let's start with the topic of the day. Like, Joe Embiid was
Sam Bowie.
Clearly not the, you know, he was not a lock for the number one pick with the back injury, but it seemed like all signs are like Cleveland gonna take him, and then he broke his foot doing I don't know what. It just seemed like he broke his foot. He's out 4 to 6 months.
But stress fracture, they said. Overuse.
Yeah, that comes back. That comes back.
You know, with the back injury questionable.
Sam Bowie.
Let's ask the easiest yes or no topic. Does he fall out the lottery?
Lottery?
Oh, not me.
No, none of y'all?
No.
Okay. Since I know how this show started, do you Lakers draft Embiid if he falls to you?
No. I do. No. Ooh. I'll take the chance probably at seven.
No, you trade that.
Oh, I'm gonna see who was trying the tiebreaker.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
At seven, I take him now. Maybe
he's available at seven. I'm trading now. I'm calling everybody and their mama. Who won?
Okay. Or maybe I draft him and trade him. I draft him for somebody else. I trade him for somebody else. Like, if someone's out there, but I feel like just value at that pick, especially for a team that doesn't really plan on doing that much next year anyway. If he's there at seven, you pretty much got to take him. Unless who else is left? Because who are you taking over him?
Okay, we'll start. Who's Cleveland going? What they going to do? Who do you think they're going to take? If they're taking
the safe pick,
they should take Jabari, but they're going to take Wiggins.
I think they're taking Jabari. I think you got to take Jabari. I think we all agree on that. I'm taking
they
Jabari.
They should do that, but Cleveland doesn't make wise choices a lot of times.
They should do that. I know it feels like. We're making up for picking Anthony Bennett, but it's like part of me with the way they draft these guys, I'm like, did you really expect this dude to just put up numbers for you in his rookie year and you knew he was not like a I'm going to start right away player? Like, is this something we're not seeing that after a year you're like, he whack.
Right.
That's how it's gonna feel if they pick Jabari Parker. It's like, oh, they trade Anthony Bennett, or they just
I don't think Bennett got a fair shot. Like, I just don't think he got a fair shot to a player that was the number one pick in the draft. Because there was no number one pick in the draft that doesn't come in and start, and you play him, and you go with you. You're going to take your lumps, but you're just going to play him.
But he wasn't – He wasn't Dwight Howard.
He was hurt. Give me anybody.
He was hurt.
Whenever, but you still want to play. We're going to put you on the court. You are our first pick in the whole draft. I can't name a player who was the first pick in the draft that didn't get a chance to play off of GP.
You can spin it like, you know what, his injury, he's not 100% yet, but we're still, and just slowly, like, you know, get somebody to work on him. If you should have done your homework to realize when I got this guy, let's give him a fucking mentor, have him somebody to work with at some point.
Well, I mean, well, you know, he was out of shape. You know what I mean? I don't know about, did he get a fair shot? But one thing you're not thinking about, it sounds like to me, is you kind of, forgetting the fact that they're watching this dude in practice. If he's not earning some minutes, if he's clearly he wasn't killing in practice, much less the games. You know what I mean? If he was killing in practice, you'd be getting more burned.
I was pissed at that. I was like, you guys suck. He was going to be a top three pick.
What has Tristan Thompson done deserves minutes? Looking at him play.
I won't disagree with you. I pretty much agree with you on that, which makes me feel like they're going to take Jabari Parker more because they can't afford to take any other unpolished players. You need the most polished, skilled player you can find, and that's Jabari. Would you say, Sean?
The draft is full of unpolished players.
Yeah, and is Jabari the most
American
polished
basketball?
Yeah, yeah, he is.
It's American basketball.
Jabari is the most polished player, which is why you take him. We need somebody who's going to be able to, you know, we know he can come in and get us some buckets and take some of this offensive pressure off Kyrie, somebody else who can do something. We can't get a Tristan Thompson at the three. You know what I mean? we're talking about Wiggins. We can't get that player and wait for him and just have another dude who's fast and rubbing down the court, but give the ball to half court and he don't know what to do.
You think Julius Randle's the answer?
For who? For Cleveland?
The Lakers.
Yeah, I thought they would pick him if he fell.
I kind of feel like
he's solid.
When I saw Julius Randle in the McDonald's game,
he don't take up
and I only saw a couple minutes of it, but he showed me a lot more than what he showed me at Kentucky. Not saying he didn't ball at Kentucky, but he showed me a little more in that. I mean, like, I saw him do some stuff.
One game when they don't play defense?
It's 1 year.
Oh, I think he'll try hard to play defense.
Oh, you said, wait, would you? You said, will he play? He won't play any defense? That's what you said, Sean?
No, I said, you're judging him off a game where they play all
defense. Right, that's true. I mean, but I just saw him do some perimeter, you know, face up and put the ball on the basket, you know, put the ball on the floor. But that's like, you know, maybe 1-2 plays. So, if he's around, I would think about it. I would think hard about Aaron Gordon.
Okay, so so y'all think Jabari's going first. So who's Milwaukee taking now? They taking Wiggins?
They got to take Wiggins, I guess, at that point.
It really doesn't matter. They're like, you're going to be good anyway.
I think they'll do what
the charts say they're supposed to.
Yeah, at that point, if you miss on Wiggins, I mean, if you miss on Wiggins and he does turn out to be something, you know, you just look so bad, you kind of have to take him because that's what the consensus is.
Okay. What'd you say, Sean?
No, I agree. My thing is, and next to that would be that guy from Australia. Which, side note, has anybody figured out why he can do this at 18?
Oh, Dante Exum.
Oh, because his high school with the how they graduate is different from ours.
13 years.
Nah, it's some shit.
Yeah, y'all about to say
they graduate early from we do, so he qualifies as being almost a year removed from school.
Oh, so it's like 11 years then.
Pretty much.
Okay. I know this was thrown out there before and B got hurt, but do you think Philly tries to trade up to get Wiggins? Because they want Wiggins. That's who they want. I think they'll take Parker if he fails, but I seem like from what I've been reading and seeing, they want Andrew Wiggins. And they were willing to, I heard, trade their third pick and Thaddeus Young for the number one pick. But that was pre Embiid injury.
Who the fuck did they draft last year?
Noel. And they stashed him because he was hurt.
Oh, so you said on Philly?
Yeah. I'm talking about Philly because they had it. But they were going to trade. Okay.
They wanted Wiggins, and then they had Michael
Carter. They got Michael Carter
Williams. I'm not a fan.
And you got
of that
time.
Move.
They don't have to rush at all.
I wouldn't be mad at that move.
And I'm to not me, a fan they, of that that's move. Who
Thaddeus,
they
you only want me to give up Thaddeus Young?
No, what I'm not.
Thaddeus Young. Well, Thaddeus Young and the third pick.
And the pick?
I mean, but I'm just not that excited about Wiggins.
Were you excited about him?
But you need to gamble before
he played his year of college. Because I mean,
before he
hadn't seen him, everybody was like, "This dude is a lock number one. He's just that. He's
I hadn't seen him.
Right.
So based on what I read, I saw a little bit of the McDonald's. He didn't show me the part, but I figured I just didn't see that much.
So.
Would you feel differently if he came right out of high school? Like if he just that 1 year just made you like, you know what? I'm not sure.
But even I hadn't seen him.
Okay. Well, did you think he was?
If I saw, I'm basing strictly off what I saw. Okay. His game on the floor is just not that impressive.
You didn't really like him going into.
Just based on what I saw. No, I was all excited about to watch him. Couldn't wait to see him. Saw him the first time. I see the speed up and down the court. Mm-hmm. I see the ability to be a great defender. You know, I mean, I see the physical tools.
Right.
He's off the charts athlete. There's no question. Other than that, I don't really see it that much. I don't see what he does that's special. I mean, what makes him better? I mean, the jumper doesn't seem really nice. And you know what I tell you about him? When we look on his face, he never looks comfortable on the court. If you watch the dude, he never looks comfortable. And the worst thing, in your last game, you're supposed to be the number one dude coming out of high school, supposed to be the top player on your team, and your possible last game in the tournament, you only shoot the ball 5 times. You want to talk about Kevin Durant not going to get the ball? This dude, he didn't want no parts of the ball that game in the tournament. I'm not saying he can't improve, but
he's a product.
He's a project.
To me, he is athletic, and that's all he is. He doesn't have game. To me, Jabari Parker has game. Like
right.
I watch,
it's
the
obvious, right?
Game. Like, oh, this dude
has. I got game.
He has game. Your boy has no. What does he do that's special?
Hey, but I'm gonna tell you the skill. The two things that killed Wiggins to me is Tristan Thompson and Anthony Bennett, because them is the last great names that came from Canada, and when you came down here, you weren't impressive. You went to the league.
That point guard from Canada never even made it.
That's the whole point of what I'm saying.
Came down with
So as far as the hype that y'all getting a lot of hype out there because y'all are able to give them shit.
But they're playing AAU in America though.
But you're not.
They're coming to America.
Yeah, they play here, but
they're coming
like
to Vegas or whatever.
You do your whole game.
I get
like,
the point.
To me,
I get the point you're making.
It definitely hasn't been impressive.
So basically, if they're both gone, now what does Philly do? Since basically now, you know, Embiid feels like he's falling out at least the top 5. I don't know what's going to happen after that, but it feels like...
If I'm Philly...
You know, does Milwaukee's not going to pick him because they got big. I don't think they were going to pick him anyway.
I actually disagree, Chris. I think Orlando's not going to let him fall past 4.
You think they're going to take him over Exum? Because I keep hearing they want Dante. They want the point guard. From Australia.
I've been hearing
So what does that mean you're doing Oladipo?
Oladipo, to me, Oladipo was a two guard.
Oladipo
they kept
is
to make
not a
point.
One. I only saw so much
they
of him.
They made
leave,
him like, let's put you at point because of your size. But he's not a one. He's a
plus,
great.
Get a big one, you can play a small two.
He had defensive game.
Yeah,
when he
did.
Came in, it was like, oh, he's going to be the one that's going to guard. And you felt like, well, they put him at point because they didn't have a point. But
right.
Now, like, you actually get a bigger point guard.
Then you can play them together.
Right.
And
you know, they got Vucevic, who's just grabbing, like, 14 boards a game. And
he's nice. I thought he was going to be.
I like Vucevic at SC. Because
he can shoot.
I like them at SC.
But, Sean, you really think he's not going to fall past Orlando?
I think Orlando's going to – if he's available at Orlando, uh-huh. Orlando's going to pick him up.
Who's 5 and who's 6? Who picks 5 and 6?
Utah picks 5th.
The Jazz and the Celtics?
Celtics definitely won't let him pass. Celtics will take him. Danny Ainge swings for the fences. Danny Ainge, unless he's really excited about somebody else, unless he really likes somebody else, like a Vonleh or whatever, or who else?
What about Smart? To me, Smart or Randall is going to be one of those.
Does he fit in their system?
I mean, Smart right now. I mean, that means you're getting rid of Rondo, and is that like an upgrade right now? Unless you got a bomb trade on the horizon for Rondo.
Well, do they take like Gordon? Who I keep hearing they like that he might fall to them.
But I mean, he just
Gordon.
I like Gordon, but I don't know.
I like him, but he needs to work on his game.
And he doesn't. Yeah, he's not. He's not an instant impact. He's not swinging for the fences as much as Embiid is.
You don't think so? You don't think he has more upside?
I just feel like the type of GM Danny Ainge is. Danny Ainge is going for
because pre-injury, if Embiid falls to them, of course they're taking him. But I mean, this is pre-injury. Mm-hmm. He's right. Not. They would take Embiid over fucking. I mean, he's the number one. He wouldn't fall out the top three.
Right.
And Gordon ain't getting in the top three unless somebody reaching. But since we got three Lakers fans on here, who y'all taking?
Julius Randle
over Marcus Smart.
Yes.
Okay.
Who's going again?
Do you take?
I have enough guard.
Do you take Embiid if he's there? Let me ask you that question. If Embiid's there, do you take him?
I try to trade down.
Okay.
I see him having constant injury problems.
Okay. So
Sam Bowie.
So that's a no. After the Andrew Bynum thing, it didn't work with Andrew Bynum.
I can't do it.
I agree that I see him having constant injury problems. That's definitely an issue. But at the seventh pick, the value is too high. Mm-hmm. I think I got to roll the dice. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. But I think I got to roll the dice because Lakers aren't going to do anything next year anyway.
Would you expect them that if it gets to that pick, do you expect them to be like, trade this fucking pick? I mean, you agree with Miles, like they need as a value pick. Do you think you need to – what would you try to flip him for?
Sometimes that value comes into an established player already.
Okay.
Right.
With these guys out here, sometimes an established player to me is better than one of these guys out here who are so-sos. The draft – I mean, the NBA needs to do something because the draft to me is getting – these guys are getting worse and worse. If you look back at past drafts, they're just drafting on talent. I don't know what you're going to do because I'm not an advocate of making people sit out 2 years. But so I don't have a solution, but I just know that the draft to me has to get better.
Hey, but you know what, Sean? I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you, but if you look back at drafts 20 years ago, were they as good as you remember them being? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of guys back then, 20, 25 years ago, that didn't stick too. You know what I mean? And maybe the better then are better than the better now because they played more time in college and they were older.
They got to develop. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they got to develop a little
bit more. I'm gonna put that task on one of my students this year. I'm gonna put a little report 20 years of better. I think I'm interested in that. Like, did it stick 6 years later?
No, from 90, I say from at least about 92. Them is some great drafts. Like, it was a couple of sorry ones in there. You're going to get that. But them drafts was always strong drafts.
So these
dudes are sorry. Like, I'm like, dude, after the top five, I'm like, man.
But here's the question, though. Here's the question. Not just, I mean, sorry, because that's kind of subjective. Like, how many, I wonder if you looked at the first round or the percentage of people who are still in the league based on round from like 20, 25 years ago to now. And because I bet you it was, because there's still a lot of dudes. There's Mark Makins and Sean Respert's. And Randolph Childress
still gave you like
7 years,
six, seven years. Ooh. I'm not saying Randolph Childress.
Oh.
Didn't say that.
Neither did Mark Makin.
But
who are you talking about?
Sean Respert gave you like four or five in Toronto.
He gave you like
four or five in Toronto, and then Mata gave you like Mateen Cleaves, them type of garbage dudes.
They last for a while. Some of them do, but it's a lot of them that still don't.
Yeah, they made their money.
But it's a lot of them that still don't.
Jacques Vaughn rode. He was garbage and rode it out.
But for every Jacques Vaughn, there's a Rex Walters. Yeah, how many years he played? Three. Four?
Yeah. Nah, but I'm
John
saying.
Was just like,
how many years Wayne Simmian played?
I'm just saying. I know now, it's dudes that be out the league, I'm saying, and you know, through three, four, you know. In the time, we're like, dude, Marcus.
It was like, they were there then, too. We just forgot about them. Chris Washburn and motherfucking, I mean, it happened.
Rex Walters played 7 seasons.
Oh.
So,
what about Marcus Fizer?
How many years Marcus Fizer played?
That was a bad pick.
Chicago picked him. Chicago picked him.
Like
he balled that year in college.
They had Elton Brand, who just put up a 2010. It was like you drafted the same dude.
But he was supposed to be. But he was like, I don't know. They like he was gonna play the three, like be a power three or some shit. I don't know.
Pissed because he and I were both on the same way. We like they should have drafted fucking Mike Miller at that pick. It was like you already got a big dude. Like just get a wing.
Three is high for Mike Miller though.
No, he was four. But he went
four
six.
Seems kind of hot. Where did Mike Miller go? He went six?
Yeah, to Memphis.
Is that right? Six?
Fizer played 6 years in the league.
Who did?
Marcus Fizer played 6 years in the league.
There you go. I mean, you know.
But I mean, for that team, you're just duplicating talent. I mean, to have like a top four pick and you basically picked a clone of one of your better players. Like that was he might have been okay. In another system, that was just a bad.
Yeah, that was a bad pick.
Hey, but how about for a quick look at the experiment? Like Sean, look up like a early '90s draft and let's just see how many of them dudes, you know, or late 80s, early 90s, whatever, and let's see how many dudes ain't
from
90, in the
I say from 91, hit anyone from 91 to 95.
But these dudes,
and they were all great.
But at least you got to see them play.
I said very, very solid compared to
them. You got to see them play. It feels like with these kids, it's all, you know, it's the potential.
It's the potential.
I hate
but
that
even
word.
Watching them in college, I'm like, dude, you know what? This is, you know, every this year as college goes by, you're watching the college basketball and the transition to these dudes getting drafted in, like,
this is,
I am not really, overjoyed to be picking none of y'all.
Like, you didn't show up as much. Go ahead.
Yeah, you just need to call this the NBA potential draft. Because that's what it is. It's all
D-League.
Like,
check it out.
This
I went
draft,
to the,
this, you can call it, instead of the NBA draft. The NBA
draft.
Potential draft.
But nobody wants to miss. All, you can't afford to miss, though.
But listen.
That's because your misses is so bad. It feels like in this draft, the way they was toting it, if you miss, it's like, oh, well, I got a solid role player.
But because you know what happens?
This draft is so damn deep. I should at least
How many people missed on Kobe? How many people missed on Kobe? Shit, how many people missed on KG?
Well, they weren't drafting like.
That's what I'm saying, and people got burned, and that's why the draft.
That's why that's how that started.
That's why the draft turned into what it turned into. Would you say, Sean?
Yeah, I agree with you. That's why it turned the way it did, because people are like, 12 people missed on Kobe, right? So it's like, damn, we could be the best player in the NBA.
Shit, at least like 8 or 9 missed on KG. Ed O'Bannon went before KG. No, that's not true. KG went before Ed O'Bannon. KG went like 5.
That's like when Paul Pierce went to 10th. I mean, dudes just fall. And they started talking about MB, like, well, Paul Pierce fell to 10th because they think he.
But I knew that was a mistake.
Yeah,
I was. I remember me and Sean talked about like that. Like, that's a bad one. Like, Paul's gonna kill, nigga. Like, Paul's nice.
We knew Paul had game.
Yeah, I mean, we knew that. That was so clear.
Paul had game. Wait,
so you're that he had game. Living on the East Coast. He was defending him because of LA. Because of LA Embry.
So Sean, you put it out there. You said Randall, Miles. Who they taking?
I mean, if Embiid's there, I'm taking Embiid. Okay, if not, then probably my next is probably Randall. I'm not sold on I don't know if I'm sold on the point guard, the stocky point guard. What's his name? Marcus
Smart.
Yeah, or yeah. I don't know if I like him, but I don't know if I'm sold on him yet. I don't think, you know, I don't know if I'm sold on him.
Okay. Chuck, who your squad getting?
Real talk, I have no clue.
Who do you
at that? So Embiid is gone.
No, okay. If Embiid's there,
I try to put him on the net, kind of how Penny and Chris Hardaway or somebody did, right. You know, so like, oh, this dude failed. Let's make a trade. Or Vince Carter.
If you can't get it, if nobody's gonna trade with you, do you take him? Do you take him for yourself?
If nobody's gonna trade,
if he's there, yeah. It's basically like, do you? If he's a guy, you would say, I'm going to keep,
Dante Exum is there, I would take him over
Embiid. Yes, they would.
But if he's not there, you know what? It'd be between him and the Croatian 6'10 dude.
Okay.
Oh, Bus City.
Because I'm definitely not taking Marcus, what's his name? Me and Marcus Smart. Nah.
No Randall either, huh? But yeah, he's hurt. He's hurt too. Randall's hurt
too. Yeah, he came off that. He has
got a bad foot or something like that too. So. That's an issue.
Oh, if y'all looking at drafts, the 91 draft is pretty good too.
It's probably the one he looked up. This is a good draft.
Which one? Because I got one. Which one you?
This is a good draft.
First pick in yours.
91 is Larry Johnson, Kenny Anderson, Billy Owens, Mutombo, Steve Smith, Luke Longley, Stacey Augmon, Brian Williams, Greg Anthony, Dell Davis.
Damn, that's a
Anthony
good draft.
Anthony, Chris Hambling.
That's a hell of a draft.
You know what I'm saying? Say yours. You got the one draft.
I just hit the wrong. I just did some. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Use the air.
this ain't my phone.
Now, I was at just first round, though.
Yeah, we was, too. This is the 92 draft. This is a hell of a draft. So, it's Shaq, Alonzo Mourning, Christian Laettner, Jimmy Jackson, LaPhonso Ellis, Gugliotta, Walt Williams. I used to like Walt Williams. Okay. Ty Day, he probably played a few years. Clarence Witherspoon.
Oh, he's kind career. Of a, he played what? Like 14.
Clarence 13. Witherspoon played 14
yes.
years?
Yes.
Well, yes. He only balled for like 3. Yeah. Adam Keefe, kind of a bust.
I'll take a $5 million.
And he stayed in the league for a long time, too.
Adam Keefe played
at least 8.
Decent when he got to Utah. Well,
I'm not talking about how good his game is. I'm just in longevity.
All right, right.
I mean, that's what you want.
Robert Horry, Harold Miner. No, not a lot of longs.
We got Robert Horry.
Brian Stith played a few years.
Yes, he did too.
Keith played 10 years in the league.
Brian Stith was. I said he played. I mean, I didn't. You know, I wasn't being literal. I'm growing. This is a hell of a draft. Malik Sealy, Anthony Peeler
had a great career.
Anthony Peeler was
here's when you get to your first definite bust, and guess who drafted him? The Clippers. Randy Woods.
that was a reach because it was Doug somebody Christie, right after that.
Tracy Murray, Don McClain, Hubert Davis, John Berry,
still solid.
Oliver Miller,
damn.
Lee Mayberry.
That's why people picked on the Clippers. Like you just
Latrell Sprewell. Latrell Sprewell at 24.
Latrell was in that draft too.
At 24, that's big. Elmore Spencer, another Clipper Jim. Dave Johnson, who I've never heard of. Byron Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to give you some notables from the second round. P.J. Brown, Sean Rooks, Brent Price. Wait, which one is Brent Price? That's
the youngest?
That's the youngest one. Yeah, okay.
Decent, so I mean.
Oh, no, Brent Price, Mark Price, little brother. I'm thinking I'm thinking of the Bears. Who else? Anybody else who's really? Dwayne Cooper, I guess, somewhat. Latario Green, just by the name. Popeye Jones.
He stayed in the league.
Matt Geiger.
He stayed in the league.
That's what I'm saying. If we look
that's to the draft. That's a hell of a draft. Now,
hit me with somebody's like with recent draft.
No, well, not a hell of a draft.
Like, you know, maybe even from 10 or something. That, 9.
You picked a hell of a draft.
So we just picked two randoms. Sean picked one and I picked one. And pretty much every dude in this draft stayed in the league for at least 7. If you average it out, them dudes was pretty much unnamed, you know.
This is definitely before the high school rush. This is before Garnett. You got the pre and post Garnett years. It's basically what it comes down to.
Yeah, and then once you broke that high school door, you like.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, true.
So, but
take it back to you, Chris. Yeah, man. That's tough. And you got all that pressure on this new regime for that pick.
Yes.
You can't mess this up.
Hope you enjoyed what you heard so far. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and give you some more stuff. You know we ain't done talking. This is the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Check this out. This is the intro. I did foes and bend them and up. Chuck seems you're out of luck. Fuck, that shit is nasty. I'm nasty MCs who try to sneak past me. I'm ghastly. I scare them. Damn to maneuver. I'm smoother. I will prove to all your boys that I do the psychotic plot if it's necessary. This is very down pat. Now I'm telling brothers brown, black, lighter. Fight for your writer. I incite riots if they try that shit that happened in the 60s. No. No hippie, I simply flip the rip that holds my love. So the foes will know what motivates me. I show the race, see? It's higher, cause firing on MCs will tire me with whackness. Using metaphors, bringing backs if it comes to that. Cause I'm the one who raps, filling gaps in the space. Perhaps there's a space for me in the world of rap. The girls on my lap, she's on the deal stick. I kill shit, the negative feels, the music feels sedative, and I'm ahead of them. I'm going the extra mile, and I bet you smile, cause my texture's wild. Yeah, I'm going the extra mile. What in the hell is you speaking? Never change my strange way that I come about shit. But you doubt it. Wanna diss a D.E., then you see me and you shout him. I would come to you and screw you. You new crew would think you the bitch with the mad voodoo over niggas. But you should know the vigor that I use to abuse those infos. So end up with for the slip that I'm puffing. You wanna step to me in the club, but I dubs nothing. Yeah, I'm going the extra mile and I bet you smile. Cause my text just wild. Yeah, I'm going the extra mile.
Y'all ain't getting Kevin Love, which I know y'all dying for. Where is he going?
Kevin Love should, I got to jump in on my opinion, where he should go I think he'd be a great fit on Houston. You put him on Houston, and you, if you can figure out a way that you don't have to give up, you don't have to give up Chandler Parsons, and pretty much you just say fuck the defense. Right. We're gonna outscore everybody. That would be, I mean, because Kevin Love and Dwight Howard playing together, now that's a matchup. That's two big men who should play, who should kill together.
On paper, yes. Because you have basically, to me, you have the two best rebounders in the game.
They will dominate the glass.
Yeah, on paper, that looks amazing with the potential inside out.
Right.
On paper. On real life, and you don't have a point either. Because I don't, James Harden ball in the hand, we know where it's going. It's going up. But see, I mean, that's all that shit with the whole Oklahoma City. It's like, oh, you thought James Harden was going to take a backseat to Kevin Durant? Not from what I've seen in Houston.
I think Dwight, you know, but at this point, I think Dwight takes, you know, and he doesn't do it on purpose. I think he starts to take a backseat to Kevin Love a little bit. So then it's James Harden, Kevin Love 2, Dwight 3. And now you got it. That's a squad to me. That's a squad. Oh, wait. I forgot about Chandler Parsons. See, that would.
If I'm Minnesota, I'm not. There's no way. Like, if that's one of those.
Yeah, I'm not. Oh, I'm not making that trade without Chandler Parsons.
Kyle Gasol goes to the Lakers for like. No, or that would have been a Lakers get Chris Paul and save $40 million in the cap. How the fuck does that happen? But
well, the problem
that ain't happened. But
see, they got a point guard already because you want to package Ashik, but they don't even need either one of them players because they got the.
They've been wanting to trade Ashik and Lynn.
But Minnesota doesn't need any of those players.
Help them, no.
Minnesota doesn't need Ashik or Lynn.
Nope.
They don't need either one of them players.
Nope.
I give up Terrence Jones. You have to
give up part. Because if they Ashik, want. If they want Klay Thompson,
and I give up Patrick Beverly,
like it don't happen.
That's what I would do. I give up Patrick Beverly.
No, I'm giving up Lynn over. I cannot.
Yeah, but Patrick Beverly is going to be the easier one to get rid of because he's younger and has a lower thing.
But he's one of them guys like.
If that's what I got to do to get.
He's a part of their identity.
If I got to get Kevin, if I can get Kevin Love and keep everybody else, I'm rolling. Keep Chandler Parsons. If I can do that,
it's not going to happen. But if they were going to do that, then they might as well.
You're gonna give that up.
If they wanted to do that, then they might as well just go Golden State and just get Harrison Barnes and David Lee and be cool with it. Like they want Klay Thompson. So if I want Klay Thompson for Golden State, I gotta ask Kendall Parsons.
That's a very
like,
good
don't be
point.
Getting greedy. I'm gonna help y'all out and take y'all two bad contracts so you can win in the same conference.
That's one of them Jerry West deals.
I don't like him on Golden State.
That is one of them Jerry
West. That would be one of them Jerry West. We'll take one.
If they get Kevin Love and still have Klay Thompson, which is gonna be. Which to me, you bring in Kevin Love.
That's nice.
So long, Iguodala. Because who am I keeping? I've got Kevin Love. I have to sign Kevin Love, who's gonna want number two esque money because he's a big. And then I gotta pay Klay Thompson.
You ain't gotta pay him yet.
No, but you're gonna have to pay him, and you already got Iguodala contract, and you got Bogut's contract.
So you get rid of them. Next year.
No,
but I mean, you can do it for a year. But
the beauty of it is, you got to do it for a year. You're going to lose Andrew Bogut's contract sometime soon. I think like within the next 2 years.
2 years.
So you're going to pay. You're going to play Klay when you get rid of him.
When you get rid of Bogut.
But you can. I think this is Klay's second year, right?
You get to play Klay next year.
Klay's third.
Next year, he becomes the restricted
free agent. It might be his fourth.
It can't be. You got to have next year might be his fourth player option. It can't be his fourth.
There's the fourth year's team option. Is fifth year player option, or are they both? No, it's two team options.
It's two team.
No, but that's because the team option I thought is like with the it's part of the restricted free agency. After like the fourth year is.
Nah, you can pick up a fourth because I've seen a gang of dudes.
If you sign them, if you sign them during your fourth, basically, I think if you extend them during your fourth, then.
But it's one of the things.
It's fourth, he's restricted. Fifth, he's unrestricted.
I think he's.
Yeah, I know that.
I think he's at the point where he becomes, do you want to extend him? And
if you don't extend him, someone, they can sign him.
Somebody, Klay Thompson, I'm throwing him everything.
He's a restricted free agent at the end of next season.
At the end of next season, I think.
Yeah, I think he becomes restricted free agent.
So you got to extend him.
If you're not trading him, I mean, he's that nice. I mean, I heard that's part of why Minnesota, it's not going through because, you know, people in the organization can't agree on it on whether they want to give up Klay Thompson. You know, the Splash Brothers is something special.
Give up Klay.
But you remember they had that run TMC and they broke that.
They didn't even get that a chance.
They barely had.
They played together only like 3 years.
I don't give up Klay. I don't give up Klay. If you're not going to take.
It's the Splash Brothers plus Kevin Love.
That's what makes it special.
But everybody else has to go. Because once it's too many, it's people making too many, like, $10 plus million contracts.
Well, I mean, you make it happen for a year, then you deal with it next year. Maybe, you know, I mean,
that's what I mean, for like a year.
Bogut's going to come, like he said, Bogut will be coming off soon. And then that's when you try to get, and that's when you get rid of Iguodala. Because
yeah, you can
at
deal
that
with
point, it. Your big three are Kevin Love, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson. Yes,
but you're going to have to eat, you know, it's now with this new CBA going on now, like, all right, we going in the red. How long are we going to go in the red for?
I tell you how probably long you're going in the red. I think what Golden State wants to do is get enough big enough following and get big enough so they can move, have a stadium built and move back to San Francisco.
They are building one right now.
Well, then there you go. Yeah, you keep, so you can roll a little bit because things are about to change in the Bay. And your big three, y'all mark my words, Klay Thompson next year will probably step into the number two guard in the league type conversation.
Huh?
Who, Klay? Klay Thompson.
I'll put this way. I'll even go higher than this.
He's top five right now?
No, two guards.
No, he's top five right now.
He has a potential, and I don't
see
see this happening.
Maybe.
But they had the potential where they could actually be the starting backcourt in the All-Star game. If he comes out and has like one of them.
Well, not well, just because it's.
Because you're Steph Curry. Though. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though.
Not because of the vote. The votes is Kobe's going to make it automatically.
Yes.
We already proved it this year. Kobe didn't even play, and he still got voted in the starter position.
So, yeah,
and had to decline.
Yeah, I don't agree with
that.
You
have to overtake Kobe in popularity.
I mean, ability-wise, I mean, I think James Harden pretty much at this point is stepping into the number one.
You've seen Steph Curry bump Chris Paul.
I agree. And then
but you've seen that coming last year.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but I'm...
Pure game, not fan voting.
But dude has that much potential.
If you're looking at
they're not going.
Klay needs to pass the ball.
If you're looking at Kobe and Dwayne Wade pretty much falling off at this point. Let's be honest, that's pretty much what's going to happen. You know, I mean, that's what you would assume or expect. Even if it's a gradual decline, maybe it doesn't get there next year. But I'm telling you, Klay plays D. His handle and ability to drive is much better than you give it credit for, and it's still getting better. And I guarantee he's working on it. He has a nice little sleep. Don't sleep on his post game. He's 6'7". He'll shoot over at most twos.
He posts more than KD.
Yeah.
Clearly. The only thing he doesn't do really at this point consistently maybe is a great passer. But on his team,
he's not worried about that now basically being he's the number two guy on the team. He has to look at it like.
Not if Kevin Love comes. Then it's kind of interchangeable. Because it's going to be some nice.
Who's the hot man? Or what's the best matchup?
Yeah, and Steph's going to have to ease off the gas a little bit and give everybody the rock, and then pick his spots.
He's
the one who has to pick his spots
on the team.
But he has to take his bad shots a game.
He's the closer.
Those bad good shots.
But they get so many shots up. And how many more shots do you get up with Kevin when you have Kevin Love out there firing them outlet passes out there?
And he has to improve on his point guard skills. He was turnover prone to grip this season.
Who was that?
Steph turns the ball over. But I live with some of Steph's.
I live with
Plus, them. They have so many possessions in the way they play.
Is he going to start getting that?
I live with Steph. And you know what you can do, too?
Start getting that Westbrook. A real point guard.
He's nowhere as a bad move.
Check out Steph's assist. Steph was like second.
He was leading the playoffs in assists.
If Klay Thompson ends up having a breakout season, can Steph Curry kind of like,
I think so.
Because he can still give you 22 and 11. And he can run the point and still give you an easy 22. He misses no free throws.
Breakout season, though, for Klay. What did he give you at this year? Like 17?
Probably 17, 18.
He's
a shade under All Star right now.
He would have.
All he needs to bump it up is two more buckets to 21.
I think if he got close to 20, over seven boards.
Said seven?
Over seven.
For a two guard?
He
can. I take two steals a lot.
For a breakout.
Five boards.
For like, I didn't even know he could do this. Like, well, he becomes that guy. Like, oh, everybody's like, oh shit. Let me look at Klay Thompson. He would be doing that. He can.
He's gonna give you a
seven.
Yeah,
maybe. You know, eight is asking a lot, but
that's a lot of boards.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, if Kevin Durant can do it, I think he go harder and board wise than Kevin Durant.
7 feet tall,
but he don't guard like that.
Who can go? Oh, you talking about Klay?
Klay,
do you so
one thing. That's another reason why you want Iguodala, because Iguodala allows you to play both them dudes off the ball. Iguodala can actually handle the ball a little bit. Now we're running. Now you got to worry about both these dudes running off picks and stuff like that. And if you got Kevin Love on the team, that's ridiculous, man. I still rather see Kevin Love on Houston. Just I think that because I'd like to see him and Dwight Howard play together. But Golden State with Clay?
I think Golden State with Clay is a win-win for that organization.
It'd be nice. You just keep it as is.
Yeah, I would say
they can't play no defense. They're going to have to outscore everybody.
If they keep Clay and get Kevin Love.
Which Houston would, too. But they got
Steve Kerr. Ain't helping play no defense.
Exactly.
Up.
You said what now?
If they get Kevin Love, Steve Kerr better do his job well. Because I'm now, like, okay, now we got Kevin Love. Championship, because I mean, why you fire Mark Jackson? Like, you really think you were like a top three team in the West? Like,
I mean, but you can run the high pick and roll, you can run the pick and pop, run the pick and pop with Kevin Love, spread everybody else out, and you can post him up a little bit. But you really want to
post player automatically, maybe him and Clay.
No, with
not a super
with that shooter,
not a super post player.
I watched him play in the post. Y'all hating on his Chris, I mean, hating on his post game, dude. Dude has a great post game.
So he has game. He has game.
He started stepping out as he progressed in the league. He started in the post.
No, he did. He has game. He has a little. He has some moves and shit. He has some game.
Really bringing it out.
It's still rough to go ahead and get the finish over players sometimes.
It's gonna look ugly.
It's still hard to finish over big players sometimes, but he has game.
But I mean, he putting up like people, you know, reminiscing on Moses Malone numbers. I'm like, he in the paint.
You can't disrespect this dude.
I mean, he be putting up 20-20 games.
Kevin Love,
20-30 games. He's putting up 20 and 25. Yeah,
but if he gives you 20-20 and like
he's a great addition, it'll be very interesting. They won't play no defense though.
They were shooting. I mean, you get the splash. He's the Splash Brother. As soon as he gets to them. The Splash Brothers has just gotten bigger. Because he's a shooter. It's like, oh, they're going to come up with some
catchy name.
It would
be a very interesting entertainment. I tell you what, I'll be running with him on 2K. You know what I'm saying?
If he came there and they kept Clay, fools would be like,
oh, yeah.
I picked him to come out the West. Some people would.
I don't know if I would do that, but they would
be. Challenging the Clippers for that division.
Oh, no, they'd be real tough with the Clippers. They'd be real tough on the Clippers.
You know what my hope would be? If that happens, I'm like, I hope. This turns out to be a serious rivalry
between them and the Clippers.
Yes,
I want to see that.
It has that. It has that potential to be kind of like a Lakers Spurs, where like we are the two best teams in our conference, and one of us is getting out of here.
Not the one.
Well, I mean, but their youth and depending on you know, well, I don't. Oklahoma City loses.
Well, just I mean, the way they play Golden State and Clippers, they're obviously or easily the two most exciting teams in the league. So it's kind of a natural, you know, rivalry.
But I mean,
just like
to
that.
Actually lock it up because some of these ain't real rivalries. Like, I mean, I'm talking about like I beat you in the, like how Memphis and the Clippers
it's gotta go both ways.
Like if Memphis and the Clippers had seen each other again, I'd be like, okay. This is going to be a damn rivalry because it's like we always got to play each other to get out. And it just becomes like I'm tired of seeing your ass.
I'm tired of
seeing you too.
Right.
And the Clippers and you can already tell that bad blood is there.
Yeah.
And if Kevin Love does push them because now it's like, oh, now we got to answer to Blake. Now what? Battle of California. Here we go. And Lakers catch up.
Blake's going to get his right back on Kevin Love. Kevin Love can't stop Blake.
That'd be exciting.
It'd be that's
they at one time where who was the better power forward? And then LaMarcus Aldridge said, "Don't forget about me."
LaMarcus stepped up and put himself in that conversation.
I don't know, man. I'm just a Kevin Love fan. I might be a little biased, but
and you're a Blake hater.
And I might be a Blake hater because I'm a fan of great basketball and maximizing your potential.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Love has clearly done that. Clearly. Because nobody thought coming out of UCLA he was going to give you 20 and 15 in the league. Mm-mm. 24, 15, 26 and 12.
Nobody thought he'd be.
Whereas watching Blake Griffin, I'm like, okay, you have all this physical ability. Show me where your game is improving every year you come in the league. Like, you've added something where I'm like, wow, okay.
He's
this is going to be a problem. If
his game didn't improve this year.
He's done that to me.
His game didn't improve this year. What, he finished third, fourth
this
in MVP?
Yeah, his game didn't improve until, to me, when he got Chris Paul. Then your game got better.
Then
Chris Paul got hurt. Then your game,
it
then
took
you
a while
a little
show.
More assertive.
It took a while to show.
He is a project.
You didn't see immediate results.
But you knew that, as with every team, he got in the playoffs. You know, you kind of see what it's about. You get called out, you know, by Magic Johnson, you know, saying like, I don't understand why he getting commercials. He ain't done nothing. You know, that kind of stuff. You like, okay. And I think he's been working. All they need to do is see him. If he improves every year, he ain't going nowhere. Because all he does, if he just keeps getting better every year, he's good.
Does he take the Clippers to a championship? Because what you got to think of, Chris Paul only got, how many years you give Chris Paul?
3 to 4.
At his prime?
Yeah, 2 to 3. Yeah, at his prime?
Yeah, before you have
3 to 4 at his prime?
No, I give him 3 to 4 to be
in the league. I mean wanting to play at a high level.
I think I'm giving 3 to 4.
I give him
3 to 4 to compete at a high level.
I give him three to four.
And that's accepting a gradual decline.
The only reason why I'm saying I don't is because the point guards that coming into the league right now are the truth. And they get better every draft. Is one that comes in that you sit back and you're like, Chris Paul, you can't deal with him. You can't deal with him either.
But Chris Paul, how long does Steve Nash continue to be able to play? Because, you know, he played for a while.
He's still a pass first point guard in the sense. He doesn't. Right. If in them years.
He may not be able to stop anybody.
How many years do you think he has? You say 4 years till he retired?
No. I didn't say. I think he might retire in like 4 or 5 years. I say in his prime, maybe 3, where he's one of the top 3 point guards. 3? Yes.
That's questionable right
three.
Now.
And that's the whole point of what I was saying. He's questionable because every year it's another point guard. And I'm like, wow. Yeah. Like,
he's at a point
being
where
in the top 10 or still being considered, you know, a top level, if not elite point guard. I say he has 3 to 4 more years of that. Maybe 5.
And in top 10?
Players?
In the top 10. Top 10 point guards. Top 10 point guard.
He got 3 or 4 more years of that. But
you know, they ask him to score.
But that doesn't mean that he's gonna.
That's asking a whole lot.
How long before you think he can't like not give you double digit assists? If he's still giving you like 15 and 11,
I don't think he'll have a real tough problem doing that. Just because of he's already changed his game with the herky jerk. Indeed. He can pretty much get where he wants to get. You know what I mean? And it's not really based on really explosion. It's just it's more the off beat, the off timing. You don't know what I'm going to do. You know what I mean?
Dribbles. But I would say,
and that
yeah, I would put 4 would be a lot, but I would think I think he has a nice 3-year window to just kill. For however good he's going to be, he has a 3-year window to reach that peak. To be,
you better win a championship, buddy.
But he has to. He's in the discussion with, you know, our next person, Carmelo. He's in that box, him, Carmelo, and Dwight Howard in the when you gonna win the ring, nigga box. They're in that box. He's in that box where you like, it's been X amount of years. You great, but we can't call you a superstar because you ain't won.
I never thought he was gonna win. But
I mean, and he needs it where it's like, okay, how good are you? That's the culture we live in. How good are you really? Because you ain't won a chip yet.
Yeah, Chris makes the team better, though, clearly. And Carmelo, you can't quite say that yet.
He's never made a team better.
You can't say that he makes the team better. Chris definitely makes the team better. Carmelo's he's a talented guy, talented scorer, but he just doesn't really make he doesn't make anybody better.
Mm. Do you think he'd be good on a team like Chicago where they're not asking him? He needs to be on a team where he's not the leader. He can be the best scorer on the team. He can't be the leader.
I agree. He needs to be the scorer on the team. I agree with that. And, I mean, Chicago, I don't think it's enough. I don't think them three, especially not knowing what D-Rose is going to be, I don't think that team is enough.
In the East, though.
I mean, I think they could be.
I mean, a healthy – I'm not talking about – MVP, but a healthy Derrick Rose, Carmelo, with that defense in the East.
Oh, you make it to the Eastern Conference.
And when the last time they were there, which I got to tell my brother, they were winning the East. Miami was until basically Derrick Rose got hurt.
Miami wasn't winning the East. Does Carmelo fit on that team? Is he going to be out there busting his behind playing defense like that?
I don't need him to play. Team defense. He ain't got to stop his guy because whoever the best wing player is, they're going to have a wing defender to guard him. The way they're built, they're not going to ask
Jimmy
him to
Butler.
Jimmy Butler
on Carmelo's man.
But you're assuming he's going to have a certain offensive impact, right? Clearly, you're valuing his assumed offensive impact more than his assumed defensive impact, in the way like in his defensive fit, how he's going to fit defensively with that team and their chemistry.
If
you might be downplaying that a little bit with the other dudes who played that role.
If he does it well enough, All he has to do, is just, you know, just work in the system, like play team defense. We don't need you to be spectacular. We're not asking you to be LeBron James and guard the best player, but we just need you to be able to hold your own and don't embarrass yourself. You can just do enough. You ain't got to be great. Just do enough to where you ain't getting beat by your man all day. I mean, that's it. As long as you moving, and because we're going to move as a system, so as long as you do your part in the system, we good. Can he do that?
Hell yeah.
That's the question.
You just described the dude they got now. Who was that? Mike Dunleavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm going to give you 15% more points a game easy. That is a great fit. You don't ask Mike Dunleavy to play defense either once you traded Lou Aldang.
That's true.
And the system still worked.
Right.
You just
got to play the system. That's a
very good point. Just believe in the system.
Honestly, I think Chicago is probably the best fit. Probably second to – I think he might need to think about staying in New York and playing and seeing what the triangle does for him.
He would want to. I think he wants to. If I'm him, I can see like I really want to stay in New York and be – I want to be the – if I'm going to win a championship, winning it here
on my
is
team, yeah,
better than winning it anywhere else. For him.
Yeah.
What you going to tell me? I brought the Knicks a championship.
Right.
Kiss my ass, everybody.
Right. You forced your way in there.
You know.
You should wear the fucking ring there.
Do you trust? But
the triangle should work.
Does he trust?
Work. That's
see
a lot
what,
of talent.
Is he okay with taking...
I mean,
I'm not mad at him if he was like, you know what? I really believe in Phil. I think they're going to do something.
But you know what?
I would...
Chicago is not, to me, Chicago is not clearly, you just don't know if the grass is greener on the other side.
But should he go to Houston in there?
I don't think he goes to Houston, though, because you got two balls.
Now, for me, for Houston, I don't like him on Houston. I don't like the fit for Houston. I don't think he fits. I like that to my teams that like to grow organically. I personally want to see that team grow. I like the way they play. Maybe you have to, even though I like the way.
I don't like them losing Beverly, because Beverly is.
No. For love. Now, if you're not going to get love, if I can keep them together, maybe you switch out a four. Even though I like Terrence Jones, maybe he's not the starter. You get a banger and a defensive player, or maybe somebody who can score a little bit in the post.
They need a Ryan Anderson type.
Ryan Anderson would be a good player for them. They need somebody to take their role.
Spread the floor and still give
you
eight rebounds.
But so I don't like Carmelo on them. I think Carmelo's issue is very similar to what I said about Kevin Durant. It's where you catch the ball. Carmelo on the wing, 17, 18 feet with the ball in a live dribble, is probably the most dangerous player in the league right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, with just that one dribble, when he got that first step and he can dribble, he can pop, he can go, he can turn, he can still turn and put his back to you and spin, probably the most dangerous player. He just goes wrong when he's 22, 23, 24. Carmelo, get your easy buckets first, then start jacking up threes. I'm not mad at you. You can do that in the triangle. You'll catch that wing where Kobe was catching the ball. He'll kill from there. I don't know if they'll win immediately.
They have to be an unselfish team.
Well, you think should he stay? You think he should stay?
I pretty much think. Plus, here's what bothers me about
that.
I think he should stay. Well, I'll get your money, whatever. But my problem is you forced the trade. You made the Knicks give up their whole team to get you. You could have just waited and gone there as a free agent.
James Dolan didn't call his
but
want to call his bluff.
He forced his way out there. So now, you know what I mean? You made him give up all this talent. You know, you want to be the man. You want to come to New York and be the man. You're supposed to be the man who can run the team. I feel like you should stay, kind of. But I feel like if you leave at this point, you're leaving your second team, you know, team's getting worse when you get there. The Knicks balled that year before.
So I hope everybody enjoyed that episode. I want to shout out Sean, Chuck, and Miles for coming through and participating with us. We had a great time. You may hear some of them again in the future. I do want to send out one Noise Award, though, before I get out of here. And that is to the 2014 NBA champion, San Antonio Spurs. What? Payback is a motherfucker. Had to sit through 12 months. We're having to watch that Ray Allen 3, knowing we choked it away. It ate it. I hated it. It hurt. You know, but I believed. I came back. See, there all the Heat fans talking. Everybody, you know, they going to come back and do it. We don't have it. We just old. All of that BS. But we come out with the best record in the league. Best road wins in our franchise history. Dallas takes us to 7, but we pull it out. I appreciate that. Appreciate that push, that challenge. You know, handle Portland, up and coming team. Oklahoma City. We can't beat Oklahoma City. We can't win in Oklahoma City. We lost 9 straight. But we won the game that matters in overtime without Tony Parker. Okay? And then what we get? We get a rematch with the team that tore our hearts out. So what do? Give me that. I'm taking it back. Taking what's mine, and I'm stomping on your neck. Oh, 3 blowouts. Game 3, then go back and then do what? Game 4 blowout. And then we go home and what? Game 5 blowout. It don't matter what LeBron did. We whooping your ass. And we got that back. Tim Duncan, 5 rings. Kawhi Leonard, MVP. All about team ball, man. I loved it. Send LeBron James home to Miami, freaking out, ready to leave because he got his ass whooped. How you like that? Noise! All right, I could have went further, but you know, I don't want to do too much. But appreciate y'all hanging out with us once again in the Brother Lemon Sports Happy Hour. You can find the podcast on Stitcher and iTunes Radio, as well as our homepage, blackisonline.com. If y'all want to send us any comments, any feedback, y'all want to chop it up with us, let us know. You know, where you think LeBron James is going? Where's Kevin Love going? What do you think of the draft? This is going to air, and, you know, by the time this come out, hit us up, brotherslayman@gmail.com, on Twitter, @brotherslayman. Hit us up on the voicemail, 323-455-4219. And from Chris and Jonathan, this is the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour, where we're giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth. Take it easy. You take it down, 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 you take it